And so we come to Habakkuk 3, his prayer. Habakkuk has complained to God. God has replied. Habakkuk has complained again. God has come back to him with a further reply. And now, the closing prayer. In this discourse, I want to look at Habakkuk 3, verses 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shugayanoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, and in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk 3, verses 1 to 2. A parallel place would be Daniel chapter 9. Shugayanoth is a musical term, almost certainly, as in verse 3, verse 9, and verse 13. And you'll notice at the very end of the chapter, Habakkuk says, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. So Habakkuk was prepared to sing about all this. Singing, of course, was a means of instruction, a means of worship. It could be a joyous song, but a sad song. But he was prepared to sing about these matters. I want to give a short discourse on these things. What is Habakkuk doing here? He is praying a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. This is a rebuke to me. Is it a rebuke to you, brother and sister? It's easy to write, it's easy to preach, it's easy to talk and complain about the circumstances we live in. But here is a man who can open his heart to God and complain and listen to God and write it down and all the rest of it, but he can also pray. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. And this is his prayer. Look how he starts. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Now I know it's altogether too possible to repeat, Lord, 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 and it's not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, and so on. But there's a real reverence in this man. A real submission. As I look out at the present scene, I see too many believers treating God as a buddy, as a kind of Father Christmas. He'll always turn up when we want him to. He'll answer our requests. He'll do what we want. He's at the end of our string. Habakkuk has a very different spirit. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe, in respect, in reverence, in fear, not in cringing fear, but in proper respect of yourself and of your deeds, O Lord. And he's crying out to God, earnestly, longing for something. He's not telling God. He's not treating God as a kind of buddy. I have said we should be frank and real and earnest with God. We should talk as a man talks with his friend, but we should have the reverence too and the respect. I know God speaks to us in his word as though he were a man, and for our good he does this. But let us never forget that he is the Lord. He is sovereign. This is the point of this prayer. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. And it's your name, and it's your power, and it's your work that I'm crying out for. There's nothing I can do. Look how he admits the decline. Renew them in our day. That tells us that he knows that the cause of God is low. And I've spoken about my experience here in England, in the United Kingdom. I believe in the United Kingdom, in England anyway, or where I live anyway. Things are at a very low ebb indeed, spiritually speaking. We are in utter decline. And this man knows that revival is needed. A quickening is needed. And that's how he's praying here. And he knows that revival is possible. But he's talking about revival, my friends. He's not talking about revivalism. There's nothing I can do to work it out. There's no plans that we can draw up. There's no schemes that we can arrange. There's no way that we can see to this. It has to be God and God alone that does it. It's only God. This man is not a revivalist. He's praying for revival. He's showing his discontent. He's not happy where he is with present circumstances. But he's looking only to God to help. And he remembers. And he urges God to remember and to think upon them. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I've known what you've done in the past. Look what you did for Israel in Egypt. Look at the mighty deliverance there. Look at Joshua. Israel under Joshua going into Canaan. Look at the times of David and Solomon. Look at the great times of God, the times when you have blessed and used Israel and come among Israel. Remember Sinai, O Lord. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our time, in our day. In our time, make them known. He's not praying just historically, as it were. Oh, I thank you for what you have done. Nor is he content to think that it might happen to his children or grandchildren. That'd be very wonderful. But it's now, in our time, Lord, in our day. It's for us now. It's for me. It's for the churches now. That's how I should be praying. I do think of my grandchildren and their children to come. But what about us in our time? What about the sinners dying now? In our time reminds me of Neville Chamberlain coming back from Hitler in the 30s with his umbrella and his piece of paper. Peace in our time, he said. Of course, that would have been very wonderful. But it wasn't peace, was it? Millions were to die. Millions upon millions. In our time, though, he's looking for God to make known his power again in wrath. And he reckons the justice of God here, the truth of it. God is just in being angry with Judah at this time. But remember mercy. He is praying earnestly, fervently, that God will make bare his arm again. And although he has a just cause against his people, that he would forgive them and come back among them. He's not offering any defense. It's not that we've deserved anything better. This is not the so-called National Day of Prayer that Britain was so good at in the Second World War. These national days of prayer so often can be, when I say so good at, I mean they were so good at asking for it, but the thought can be that we are more righteous than other nations and we deserve something. It's not national anyway, is it? I'm talking about the churches. I'm not talking about the state and politics. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of Christ, his name, his glory, his honor, the power of the Spirit among us. What decline we have seen, what weakness in the gospel, what powerlessness in our preaching, what carnality in the name of Christ, what formalism, what deadness, what dryness, what dullness. Lord, I too, surely we too have heard of what God has done. We remember the Reformation, do we not? We've heard of George Whitefield and Charles Haddon Spurgeon. We've heard of the great exploits in the past. If only a half or if only a tenth of what we read is true, what a difference to our own day. And it was all God's work. It wasn't Whitefield or Spurgeon or Edwards or anybody else. With the prophet we must say, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. It's God's power, it's God's work. In our time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. This rebukes me, my brother and sister. Can I be so low that I have forgotten that God knows how to revive? Can I be so despairing that I give up all hope of it? Have I forgotten to pray? I confess that this is my lot. Habakkuk 3 and verse 2 particularly convicts me and condemns me. I need the spirit of the prophet. He complained, yes. He wrote, yes. He preached, yes. But he also prayed. May God give us, brother and sister, this praying spirit. May we cry out in reverence and awe, depending upon God. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. An unbeliever, wrath and mercy. Don't these words strike you? You are under the wrath of God. But this day, in our time, now, even as I speak to you, this is the day of mercy and of grace and of forgiveness. Look to the Lord now. Trust him now. Do not enter eternity without Christ, for the day of mercy will be over then, and then it will be all wrath for you. But now, at this very moment, it is the day of mercy. It is the time. So call upon the name of the Lord now, even as I speak to you, and be saved.